The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Say with me, I love the word of God. Say it again like you mean it. Add some ghost to your voice. I love the word of God. It's not still coming better. Say, I love the word of God. Glory to God. So we started on Sunday on recognizing the voice of God. Recognizing, and the heading itself is very instructive. It's not how to make God speak to you. It's not also how to hear from God. It's actually how to recognize when God is speaking. I'll tell you why it is so. Because God is always speaking to his children. There is no father that does not talk to his children. No father. Except a wicked father. But God is a good father. Amen? There is no father that does not talk to his children. So God is always talking to us. God is always talking to you. And so when people say this, like, well, I've not heard from God on this matter. Most times, it is, I've not been able to pick what God is saying exactly, because at every time, God is talking to you. Let me say this to you. Sometimes, you want to hear from God, and we go for retreats. That's very powerful. But you need to realize, going to a retreat to hear from God is not actually an attempt to make God speak to you. It's actually to be able to remove distraction, have your focus, stay in the right atmosphere, so you can hear what God is saying. Are you what I'm talking about? So it's not like, oh, God is not going to talk to us. Go for the truth. I used to share this story with you guys. So many years ago, like really years now, I think that was somewhere around 2003 or so. So I joined, that's exactly 20 years. So I joined, I wasn't even sure I was born again or not. So, but there was this fellowship I joined around that place. My fellowship wasn't growing, it wasn't doing well. So for some reason, they said we were going to have a retreat. Don't already know the story. They were going to have a retreat. They used to call it set apart. Did you go for set apart? We're going to set apart. We're going to have set apart. And lock up ourselves in the church vestry. So I didn't have a problem with that at first. And we're going to be fasting throughout. So I asked them, how long? They said, we're going to stay there until God speaks to us. And that's where I had a problem. So I just figured, we've been meeting every day in this fellowship. God has never spoken to us. Or so I thought. You know, most of it is ignorance. We hear from God's word every day. And yet we say God has not spoken to us. Well, in my own little mind, I said, I'm not a fool. I'm not a fool. My mommy did not raise a fool. I will not go for that. I won't go for this meeting. Because we are supposed to come on Friday. We're supposed to lock up ourselves in that place till whenever God speaks to us. I don't know what that means. That if God does not speak to us till next Friday, we're going to remain there. So, I came up with a strategy. I just planned how. I can't tell them I won't call. It looks like I'm not serious. So, on that Friday morning, I was dressing up for school. I told my mom, Mom, we are supposed to fast today. She said, it's fine. She'll fast. I said, this woman is not getting, that she's meant to be a weapon this morning. I said, but I'm very hungry. She said, if you're hungry, now go and eat straight up. I just went and ate. And so, in the evening when I was going for the retreat, I said, I was playing ball in the field. She saw me and said, you're not coming. I said, I'm not coming though. I said, why? I said, my mommy said I should eat. It's ignorance. Now, it's ignorance in many ways. Well, God speaks to us at all times, amen? We should just know how, the purpose of that set apart or whatever, would have been to separate ourselves, to be able to pick what God is trying to tell us. And to show that I was actually right at the end of the day, they went on, by the time they were going on Friday, they already contacted somebody that would cook for them on Sunday morning to break the fast. So I said, so you knew that God will speak before Sunday morning. You know, to hear from God isn't really a big deal as we make it look. It's not difficult. Just that we must know how. And to know how is not by impartation. To know how is by constant practice. Just like I explained to you on Sunday, for a baby to be able to know that this is my mom talking, you would have heard the mom again and again. I get the point. When the mom now talks, can I say, oh, that's my mom? I just know. Amen. You know, when a husband and wife, they are married, men are not that observant, but ladies are. Okay, so a man, if you come to church and you bring out 30 shoes, and you tell the man to choose the particular shoe the wife wore to church that morning, I tell you, he will not know. Painfully. But you see, the woman is going to, you just bring out maybe anything. Tie, even tie. So choose your wife, husband, say, ah, that one. How do you guys know those things? And I tell you, it's by paying attention. That's what I'm trying to show you. By learning to pay attention. When a guy dresses up in the morning, the wife looks and sees. When a man dresses up, when a lady dresses up, the man is just looking. Sometimes you say you are fine, just so that, because if he doesn't say it, he's in trouble. You just say, oh wow, he can't remember anything. You know, they've done that as a competition in many churches. And every day it happens, the men always flop. They will gather, like, bring the women, gather about 50 shoes. I tell every man, come and pick your wife's shoes. They will just come there, look around, and pick the wrong shoe. Everybody. And I'm not, even if you do it here in this church, the result is always the same. You know, it's a lot about paying attention. I don't know why I'm starting with this, but it's a lot about paying attention. God is always talking. But if we're not calm and we don't learn how to silence and quieten the voice of our mind and our environment, we will not hear what he's saying. Or we might hear, but then we are just totally confused and then a lot of things are clashing in our head. That's why the believer in Christ must learn how to, over time, recognize that it's God speaking. I said a few things on Sunday, one of which I emphasized. I was talking about the inward, remember? I was talking about the inward witness, the inward voice, the inward perception. These are the different ways God will talk to you. The inward witness. Where something is happening on the outside and you feel, not in your mind now, in your spirit, you feel this green light or this red light. Just know for some reason this shouldn't be. And I tell you, I've heard God even that the inward witness a lot. Sometimes I am in church. You know, sometimes when I tell some of you can bear witness, but like when you say things like, well, there is someone here that has a suitcase, you actually did not hear any voice. But you just know that somebody like that. Can you listen to what I'm talking about? Sometimes you didn't hear anything. You just know. He said, how do you know? I just know. It's an inward knowing. It's just know that this is it. Sometimes you are done praying, you step out of a prayer room, you just know that we shouldn't go there. Well, you didn't hear any voice saying, my son, don't go. You just know. And one of the things I would like to get you to do is begin to trust your inward man. You know, I've been talking about the inward man since that first night. Begin to trust your inward man very well. That is the major way God will talk to you. That inward man is more accurate than every other thing. Let me give an example. If in the course of this service now, this whole building begins to shake, and then the glory of the Lord, as you know, cloud covers everywhere. Fire is coming from there, you know, and then Jesus begins to step in his glory. And then we all can see him, and we all are shouting, and he talks to us. Listen, the things God tells you in your inward witness can be more trusted than all those experiences. Are you getting me? But that's where we talk about hearing from God. People say, well, Pastor, teach us. I'm hearing from God this one in my spirit. I used to hear it. Yeah, I want the real one. That one is the real one. The problem with the church is we love the spectacular. And God is not always spectacular. God is not spectacular. We love the spectacular. And as Brother Hagin will say, sometimes we are running after the spectacular and then we'll miss the supernatural. Because sometimes the supernatural is simple. That is the same reason why if I walk up to you, you say, sir, there's a pain at my back. I just touched you, I said, you're well, you just came and I just passed. It will, if you're not trained, it won't make sense to you. But if you say there's a pain in your back and I just walk around, I pack oil, I pack salt, I do some things, I'm doing spectacular things around you. And I bring seven candles. Candles represent the seven spirits of God. As I light them around you. Now, when I'm done, you see, people tend to believe. So how was service today? Say, child. You see the move. We love the spectacular. And that's how we miss God. That's how we miss God. Because when we're talking about God speaking to you, we don't want all this inward witness thing. We want pastor to teach us how we can be in our cars and we are hearing my son. You say, yes, daddy, I can hear you. I don't want to hear. And there is a reason why we want that. I'm going to touch it a little today. Part of it is because it looked like actually that was how God spoke to the Old Testament guys. Did you observe? It looked like they had more spectacular experiences. It looked like they had more physical manifestations. Now that is true. It's actually true. At least Moses was passing. He saw a burning bush. And the bush was not burnt. And then he began to hear, pull up your shoes and all that. Many people want God to talk to them like that. You do not realize that the reason why God... Tomorrow, during immersion, I'm going to say something about this. Because I'm bringing a teaching on... Well, let's leave that. Tomorrow will hear me. Amen? You don't realize the reason why God spoke to them that way was because their spirit was dead. Because they were not born again. It is when you become born again that your spirit comes alive. So because their spirit was dead, the Holy Ghost was in their spirit, God will speak to them on the outside because that is the only way he can reach them. Are you following me? Only one or two of them, like the prophets, when the spirit comes upon them, God did not talk to them in their spirit. But every other of them needed a physical manifestation. So that's why he spoke to Moses. Let me tell you something. I don't know if I'm running ahead of myself. That way cannot be trusted more than the word of God and more than what happens in your inward man. I can even give you one other reason why it is so. Because if God can talk to you and show you things with your physical eye or talk to your physical ear, I can also talk to you that way. The devil can also assess your physical ear. But the devil cannot ask your spirit man. Are you following me, church? He can assess your physical ear. I can assess your physical ear. Anybody here can assess your physical ear. The pinna, the... What are all those things inside your ear? Huh? Eardrum. And the medulla. So... Now, if you are laughing, it means you know it. If you are not laughing, it means you don't even know what I'm saying. No, some people don't say, why are they laughing? Why are they laughing? Is medulla not in the ear? Now, the devil can assess all of those. If God can appear to your physical eye, I can also appear to your physical eye. Now, how are you sure that it is God? How are you sure that it is the devil? That is where your inward man now comes in again. Because even if you see something physical, you see your inward man that will confirm to you that this is God or this is Satan. That's why it is the most reliable way and the only way God wants to talk to you. One of the things that God is going to do for you as a believer, if you are going to grow, is that he might have to remove some, you know, cure your mind of expecting spectacular things all the time. You know, I've seen church people that talk about their pastors. My pastor is not really anointed. You know why they talk like that? Maybe their pastor does not do spectacular things. He doesn't come out and stands. Me, self, God, I am graced in certain ways. Not everybody is. Because your pastor does not come out to pick up his suit and then, pew, people are falling down. He doesn't come out and say, oh, there are six people here, your name is this, da, da, da. Now, you think God is not moving in our church. Now, a prophet comes from outside and then he does that. You say, ah, that's the real man of God. Why? Your ears and your senses are focused on spectacular things. That is how you define that God is moving. What you don't realize is that all those things your pastor can do by the power of God, a demonic, satanic pastor can do those things too. A satanic pastor can wave his hand, everybody will fall down. I hope you know that. Can do that. So how are we sure that God is moving in this place? It is not actually because things are happening on the outside. Are you following me, church? We must be delivered from the quest for spectacular things all the time. The secret is, for the most important things about you that God will tell you, He will not use spectacular things to talk to you. He won't come down with fire to tell you. And I used to share this story with you guys. When I got saved newly, I wanted to hear from God by all means. Nobody taught me every time to see you now. So I told myself, I must hear from God. Must. So I will just go lie down in my room. I tell God, I'll be praying. I will not come out until you talk to me. If you don't talk to me, I'm not leaving this room. The thing is, every time I pray that prayer, God talks to me. But that's not what I wanted. What I meant was, I want to pray until I begin to hear Him loud and clear, telling me what to do. So I waited for that experience. I waited for years. Not years, for weeks. Running to months. I was waiting. Sometimes I used to tell you guys, I'll just tell myself, I'm going to enter my wardrobe and I'm going to stay here, Lord Jesus, until you talk to me. And I get into the wardrobe and I stay there and I sleep. Our wardrobe was that big, you know, when we were growing up. Just enter there, you just sleep. The next thing you are hearing is, where is this boy? Come and eat your food. It's now night. You stand up and come out. I've entered under the bed. And I told God, I'm going to stay under this bed. I'm not going to come out until I hear you loud and clear. You know, let me even say this to you. That is an invitation to familiar spirits. I get the point. That is an invitation to familiar spirits. Because at every time you are talking, God is talking to you. He's showing you His word. He's talking to your inward man, which is what you should master. But because you want spectacular things, well, I prayed that prayer and I got tired. And I stopped praying it. Amen. But when one day, I can't forget that date, November 17th, 2006, I was now in a meeting. My spiritual father used to tell us that all his life, that he has only heard God audibly once. And in fact, that day he heard God audibly, that all he heard was that God called his name. Just like you just said, Amaka, that's all. The only thing he needs was God. That was all. I get the point. Because most of it think that if you don't have all those spectacular things happening around you, you're not really a rich child of God. Master how to hear God in your spirit. When you are about to close a deal, you don't need to start hearing, my son, that deal you're about. What you need to just say is to pick something in your spirit. I get the point. Yeah. When you will need God, when you need the voice of God most, you don't need to. You cannot be ill. You can't be want to close a deal, and while you are there, and then suddenly you fall down and fall into a trance. God is talking to you, and they're calling you. Maxwell. You're in a trance. After like 4 hours, shakala barakada. Now, you are, by the time you wake up, you're in the hospital. That's where they carried you to. And sometimes, if by the time God has spoken to you about the deal, before you come, they give it to another person. The most important things in your life, God will know you spectacular ways to talk to you. You will need to settle that in your heart. So, the November 17th, I was just praying in a meeting, when a program, and then in the course of the meeting, I heard God. Now, this was now amazing. I heard Him physically. I heard Him audibly. And I was looking for who was talking to me. As a young Christian. He just told me, what do you think He told me? In summary, I won't give you the word for it. Somebody is, I will use you. I didn't know before. And everything is, but you see, apart from that day, one or two other experiences. For the most amazing, even God talking to me about leading Platform of Grace, He didn't speak to my physical ear. The most important decisions in your life, God will not talk to your physical ear. He will not talk to your physical eye. He will talk to your spirit. You must master how to hear Him. You must. Because for all you care, you are waiting for a physical appearance. What if it's a demon that appears to you? How will you know? You think the day you will see Satan that he'll be wearing black. Amen. So how do I know? How you will know is still what I'm teaching you. It's still your inward man. That's why you must master how that inward man functions. So that inward man has a witness. We call it the inward witness. The inward man has a voice. He has a perception. He perceives people. You know, I dwelt a little on this perception last Sunday. He perceives events. And I just sometimes talk to people. I was talking to my brother and sister. My brother and my sister were just in the night. Sometimes when people are talking to me, once they come and they start talking, I have known everything about them. Maybe not what their name is or whatever. I already know the kind of person they are. Sometimes just greet me, good evening, sir. Just talk. Let me even teach you a big secret. One of the easiest ways to perceive people is to hear them talk. That is why if you go to visit people that are higher than you, don't talk too much. Are you following me? If you talk too much, they will draw conclusions on your life. They will know you. And that, in fact, you just need 3 minutes. Sometimes 5 minutes. And the man has concluded whether you will come back to this office or not. He has concluded whether he will pick your call at all or not. Jesus will just hear the Pharisees talk and he will say, Jesus knowing the thoughts of their heart. Knowing what they are thinking. You just need to hear them talk. Amen. When we just go to me, go to my office, what's that talk again? If I sometimes from the introduction of your name, I can write a full page about you. Do you understand? So if I meet you, I already know this one is a proud person. Write him off. He's proud. Sometimes you look at them, you just know this one will not, he's not serious. That is that person. The Bible tells us the woman saw Elijah. Now that story is very interesting. That woman was a very holy woman, a very spiritual woman, because that was in the Old Testament. By the spirit upon, she knew this was. But then there would have also been a way Elijah was comporting himself. For him to tell the husband, this is a holy man of God. Let's take this man in. So that inward man perceives. He speaks. He will talk to you. Let me say something I didn't say last Sunday. I better say this, but let me say this. That inward man, I want to talk about visions today, but I'm just trying to lay some information. That inward man is complete. I'll keep telling you that. He's complete. The Bible tells us, Colossians 2:10, you are complete in Christ. That inward man is complete in Christ. What that means is, it is complete in knowledge. That inward man knows everything. Like, it lacks no single knowledge. Everything. So when we talk about hearing from God and hearing from your inward witness, what is happening is it is to get information from your inward man to your mind. So that your mind can know a part of what your inward man knows. Are you following me? Let me now tell you what will happen when Jesus comes, when we go to heaven. When we now go to heaven, this body, the Bible tells us, we will be changed. What will happen is that inward man, this body will now be changed to the nature of that inward man. We will now be complete in knowledge, complete in health, as the inward man has always been. Are you following me at all? It's always been. So, actually, the real you knows everything. That's your inward man. The real you knows everything. He knows where he should be. He knows where he shouldn't be. It is perfect. It is complete. Everything. Now, your mind doesn't have that knowledge. That's why I closed last week by talking about praying in tongues. Sometimes when you pray in tongues and do some of these things, you quieten the voice of your mind. You quieten the noise around you. You cannot begin to pick things from your spirit. Your spirit is complete in knowledge. Are you following me? So, 2 Corinthians 12:1.
I'll come to visions. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 1. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo.
He said, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. And I said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So Paul said, well, I have a few things to say. It's not like I want to boast. It's not important for me to keep boasting about this. But it's important that I talk to you about visions and revelations of the Lord. So let's see what he said. We're not studying that scripture. We'll just read it. Verse 2, he said, I knew a man in Christ. I love how Paul talks. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now you tell me, who do you think he's talking about? Watch. Whether in the spirit, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Who was he talking about? Himself. He's about to share with them a vision he had 14 years ago. And the vision, I'll go to explain the type of vision, was such that he didn't know if he was in the body or whether he was out of the body. All he knows that he was caught up into heaven. He said he heard things he called unspeakable words. There's a lot to learn. That is why I tell people, it's not everything that God shows you or God tells you that you say. Especially if you are blessed with a lot of supernatural experiences. And I will say this on Sunday, I want to say it again. The reason people have more supernatural experiences, all those whatever, than others, people even have it and preach it. And say, have you ever been in your room and fire entered? Listen, it's not always because they have a stronger walk with God than others. That's not true. Most times, it's simply because of the call of God upon their life. If someone is called, for instance, to stand in the office of a prophet fully, he is going to have more supernatural encounters and others more than me. I prophesy. In a sense, I'm a prophet. But I'm not standing in the office of a prophet. Are you what I'm saying? Are you following me at all? So Paul realized that I had this experience. You notice Paul, it didn't even look like Paul had so much of these experiences. Because he was referring to what he saw 14 years ago. But point is, he had visions and revelations. He said he saw things that is not lawful for a man to say. Chances are, he didn't talk about them till he died. There are things that God will show you that is not for now. He told Habakkuk, the vision is for an appointed time. There are things that God will show you that you don't say now. There are things that God will show you that you just tell one or two people and then keep it in your heart. The Bible will tell us Mary hid all these things in her heart. There are things that God will show you that you just keep. There are things that God will show you that you're just talking about anyhow. Some people just pray and God is showing you are going to do this and do this, and then people be all over the place telling people. You know, half of the time, people that are very loose with what they say God told them, talking about anyhow, never walk into those things. I asked someone that told everybody around us of a book God told him to write. Now that was actually in the year 2008. Till today, that book is not out. He ordered this book, when I write, God told me, once I release it, he told everywhere he went to preach, everywhere he was all over the place. There are things that God will show. Some of you that are part of Champions Foundation, there are decisions we took recently. Now, those decisions we took, I mentioned those decisions to the leadership house, some of you that are there, last year, January. Now, look at the point. The point is, the first time God put that stuff in my heart was 2017. Do you understand? The first time I mentioned it to my friend, Pastor Casey, was 2020. I knew it alone. And prayed with it alone. Are you following me? There are things, I don't know why I'm going this way, but there are things that God shows you. And it's not just for you to just begin to parrot about it. that I, even if I spoke to my, after like 2017 to 2018, by 2019, I mentioned it to my pastor. I didn't mention it to my pastor 2017 to 2018 because we didn't have that kind of relationship. I was as in, I was just following him from far. So 2019, I got close to him, so I mentioned it to him. I wasn't until late 2020, December, now, for the first time, I told my friend Pastor Casey, well, you pray. I didn't even tell him, God said. I said, well, you pray about this and tell me what you think. And then the journey started. You must realize that if God is going to trust you with information, you can't be a loose talker. Are you following me? If God is going to trust you with information about people, there are things I get. I'm a pastor. And in case I don't say it all the time, I'm actually very prophetic. I know things about you that if I tell you I know about you, you will run mad. It's only if you are close to me that you will know that I know many things about people without saying it. But it doesn't mean I must talk about them. That's the difference between a pastor and someone that stands up to be prophets. Going back to what I was saying before about being spectacular. I've been ministering on this stage. And I see a vision. I see that there is this guy standing here, is actually, what do I use now? He's living in sin. He's duping people of their money. I've seen it in the spirit. Now, if a prophet, fellow an untrained one, is invited, and he sees that thing, he's just going to make a drama out of it. I say, hey, you come. You on blue. Now, I don't know what is on blue, I'm just saying. You on blue, come. And he comes. And then he says, 2005, you did, as he said, everybody shouting, prophesy, that's that man of God. That's the man of God. Now, you know why he's going to act like that? He doesn't care about the flock. When he's done, he will go home. Those people may never come back to church again. A pastor cannot act like that. A trained man cannot even act like that. So I see that this guy is doing full of their money. Now, what am I supposed to do? Why is God showing me in the first place? He wants me to help that person to stop, to grow. So I begin to go close to him. I'm not giving some assignment, begin to talk to him, I'm trying to help him. I've heard from God, but I'm also talking about it to everybody. There are things God will tell you about members, as a pastor, as leaders. There are things God will tell you about people under you. That is not for you to go and tell them or to tell anybody. Some of them are just for you to pray about. Maybe not today. I will teach fully one day. One of these days, very soon, on judging prophecies. There are six different ways to react to prophetic words. You don't respond to every kind of prophetic word the same way. So Paul is telling us there is something God showed me that is even, it is even wrong for any human being to talk about it. But our generation, anything God says, shows you have to talk about it, because it is in giving accurate details that you are known to be a major prophet. Are you following me? God will begin to talk to you. Some of you, as you begin to grow in this thing, just right there in your room, God will say a thing or two about your roommates. So I've never experienced what I'm talking about. I just pray, God, just talk to you about your roommates. She has this problem. You must know how to handle it. It's not when the Lord tells you she's in her family, they have an issue, there is a divorce, whatever. And you just start telling everybody in the room, hey, that girl, they are divorced. The father and mother divorced. Mess up the whole thing. Or God tells you about your boss in the office. Just tells you a thing or two about your boss in the office. Glory to God. And you're not going to tell him. Now, it depends on what and it depends on how. Sometimes you're not telling everybody. You're a foolish child. And it's not me that raised you. Very foolish one. Even God is wondering why he told you that thing. Amen. So we see that Paul had a vision. There are actually generally three different kinds of visions that you can have. One of them is the one I've been talking about for some time now. Open visions. Open visions. What are open visions? Open visions are simply when you are having a vision, but that vision is not with your spiritual eyes, it's with your physical eyes. Who has ever had that experience where you see something with your physical eye and you're wondering, are you people not seeing this thing? Has that ever happened to you? Or I just see something. And you, it's not like your eyes are open. You're not even seeing it in the spirit. You're seeing it, but it's so real. That's open vision. Where God just transcends, you know, it's no longer about your mind or your spirit now. He's showing you with your physical eyes. That's such a vision. But just like I explained to you a few minutes ago, that is not the ultimate way God always talks to his people. Because if God always talks to you that way, you have a problem. Imagine, I was saying it on Sunday, you are driving along the road and God is showing you something else. And it's an open vision. And it's supposed to last for 1 hour. So you are watching film and you are driving. God won't do that. But that is open vision. And it's going to come. It comes once in a while. Some people it happens more often. But even that more often, it's still once in a while. Because actually, God wants to talk to you every minute of the day. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Every day. He wants to talk to you. See, imagine if God has relied on open vision to talk to you all the time. That's a problem. Now, there's open vision. The second kind of vision is what they call, I'll teach you these things in the Bible, so let me just mention them. It's what they call trance. A trance. What is a trance? Simply, okay, another way to explain it to you for you to understand it is dreams. Where you are having a vision, but your senses are suspended. And sometimes, you are even in the vision. Like your senses are suspended, you are maybe sleeping, and then you are in the vision sometimes. Sometimes you're not even there, but you are seeing things. You're not conscious in the physical, but you're seeing something in the spiritual. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you understand this one because you know dreams a lot. As long as there are some of you that say things like, it's not like I was sleeping, but I was just lying down. Do you have that experience? I wasn't really sleeping. I didn't know what was happening around me, but then I was not sleeping. Then I saw this thing. Yeah, that's a trance. So dreams are also a kind of trance. The thing is, open visions, your sense, you see with your senses. Trance, your five senses, your senses are suspended. Then there is a third kind of vision, what that we call spiritual visions, where you see a vision, not with your physical eye, you are wide awake, but you are seeing it with the eyes of your spirit. That one is actually the easiest kind of visions that come, and that is actually one of the most trusted actually. Where I can be talking now, some of you, as I've happened to you, are praying or you're talking, and then a picture flashes through your eyes. Does that happen to you? That's a vision. That's a spiritual vision. A picture just flashes through your eyes. A scene. And you're wondering, what is this about? Sometimes you're praying and you see letters. These things are very interesting. I have a daughter. She's in church. You know, she's in this church. When God begins to talk to her through visions, spiritual visions, she sees shapes. She just comes to me and says, Dad, see what I'm seeing. Bring a pen and a paper. She will draw. See what I'm saying? Interesting. I'm coming to that show. Now, these are spiritual visions. And God talks to us through that. The same way I explained to you about the inward voice last Sunday, that you can actually hear a voice, but you're not hearing it physically, you're hearing it to your spirit man. You can actually see something. You know you saw it. You know it's not your physical eyes. Sometimes you are closing your eyes. Sometimes you're not even closing your eyes. But there's a vision there. Now let me show you. Let me show you a couple of examples of visions in the Bible and people that had those visions. One of them was Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. That's a vision. I saw the Lord. Okay? So this is either a spiritual vision or a trance or an open vision. Well, he said, I saw the Lord. And then he was sitting upon a throne. So he described, go through the chapter, he described what he saw. That is a vision. Actually, this thing we call vision is actually the manifestation of a spiritual gift. That spiritual gift is called discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits does not actually mean to know that this is an evil spirit or this is an evil spirit. No. It's actually to discern, to see into the spirit. It's what Brother Hagin calls the spirit of seeing and knowing. If you listen to Brother Hagin a lot, you must have heard that. Seeing and knowing. So you see something, you know something. So Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. That's a vision. In 1 Kings chapter 22 and Proverbs 13, we read about Micaiah. I talked about him last Sunday. We read about Micaiah, how that he saw. Continue. Just continue, keep going down. Because they came to invite him to talk about the battle that was coming up. And, you know, he came to Micaiah, he came to King in verse 15 and told the king, well, go, you will win. Because he knew the king wanted him to say those things. And the king told him in verse 16, I told you, tell me only what the Lord says and you should tell me. Don't lie to me. He said, fine. Let me now tell you what the Lord said. Verse 17. He said, I saw. That's a vision. Now, this is still, we are looking at how God speaks to us. This is still God talking to him. But God did not now speak to his ear. God showed him something. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, so this guy is telling, if you do not know that this is a vision, you will think he watched a movie. Visions are like that. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return to his house in peace. Now see verse 18. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, shepherd, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Now I told you a part of the vision and you are complaining. Let me not tell you the full one. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner and another said on that manner. Are you following? And there came forth a spirit. That's an evil spirit. And stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, how will you persuade him? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. So this is a picture he saw. He saw a vision. All he was trying to tell Ahab, see, that is a, there is an evil spirit that has possessed all these prophets telling you to go to that battle that you win. I actually saw when he played out in the spirit. I follow him. So that's a vision. This could have been seen. Do you know the truth of the matter? As long as this vision is, it can be any of the three kinds of vision. It can be a spiritual vision. What I mean is, I can be standing here and watch a movie that is up to 30 minutes long as I'm talking to you. I get to the point. Now, are you saying that you can be talking and be watching a movie? Sometimes the spiritual world is somehow. I could see that thing in 3 seconds, but gist you that thing in 1 hour. Are you following me? Do you believe in the supernatural? The child of God. That this can also, it can also come as a dream. It can also come as an open vision. But this is what he saw. Let's see one or two other examples. John 1 verse 33. John 1 verse 33. Glory to God. Amen. This was John when he saw Jesus. John the Baptist. He said, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending upon. Okay, before that, let's see verse 32 or verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. A vision. John said, I saw the Spirit. Now, did John see a dove? Did he? Huh? Now you have to learn this. People say, well, the Spirit is a dove. No. I saw the Spirit descending like a dove. So it's not like, what does he mean by like a dove? He's describing the manner of that Spirit. A dove is gentle. So it's centered on Jesus as a gentle spirit. Do you understand? But that's a vision. I saw the Spirit. So we can see. We've seen two people now saying, first was Isaiah. He said, I saw the Lord. So a man can actually see the Lord in a vision. I'm coming now. Micaiah said, I saw the Lord. Now John is saying, I saw the Spirit. Woo. Glory to God. Acts 9 verse 1. Other visions we're just going to touch a little. Acts 9 from verse 1. Of course, that one is popular. Saul was beating Tetany and all that. Of course, this was Saul. This was a clear case of an open vision. Because he went to get a letter from the high priest and said, let me give me a letter to be able to kill the Christians. And while he was riding, continue. While he was just on his way to Damascus, continue. Straight. Now, watch. He came to Damascus and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Continue. I want to show you something. Continue. Because the voice was talking to him. And the men we journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So you see, this man, it was an open thing. That's what I'm trying to show you. Because even the men that were with him could hear the voice, but they couldn't see what Paul was seeing. So somehow this is even a coming together. So Paul saw that light. Others did not see it, but others heard the voice. That's vision. It happens. It will happen to you. Amen. One more. Two more actually, but one is actually in one chapter. Acts 10. Acts 10 from verse 1 is a clear example of an open vision. Where Cornelius was praying and an angel appeared to him. It was normal. It can't be spiritual. It's an open vision. Part of the reason itself is because Cornelius wasn't even born again in the first place. So an angel appeared to him and told him, send for Peter. And you see why, please everybody pay attention to this. You see why we can't rely on open visions fully. Because Cornelius was not saved. It was until Peter came and preached to him that he got saved. Are you following me? And yet he had a vision. He saw an angel. That's why you see, have you seen people who are not saved? But they see dreams and those dreams happen. Have you seen it? Because God can assess your dream, assess your physical eyes. Satan too can, so any of them can talk to you. But when we are now a believer, God does not just want to speak to you through dreams. He wants to talk to you through your spirit, man. So by then, because I looked at a vision. He saw an angel telling him, in fact, this was forensic. The angel told him about someone, told him the person's name, and told him the person's address. There is a man called Peter. He's residing in the house in a certain house in Joppa. Send for him. Verse 5. Send for him. Are you following me? Even told him the name of the house. Say the man Peter is staying with is called Simon. The house is in Joppa. Forensic. And this is what some pastors are going to see now and say, that means, that's what I tell you, that all these visions, all these happenings, especially when it has to open visions, they are not really a proof of spiritual maturity. These are unbelievers having a crazy manifestation here. Verses after that, we get to chapter 10, verse 10 now. You will see Peter having his own vision. But this time, he now saw a different kind of vision. What vision did he now see? He had a trance. Continue. Verse 10. Go back to verse 10. He said he became hungry and would have eaten. So Peter was very hungry, so he was waiting for food to be ready. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So we see two different people. One had an open vision, one had a trance. All of them are vehicles through which God communicates to us. So he can come to you through any of them. He can come to you through a trance. He can come to you through an open vision. He can come to you through a spiritual vision. He can come to you through the inward voice like we saw the last time. Important thing is that God wants to talk to you. And all these things are vehicles
that he communicates with. Now, let me tell you something. Maybe just to help some of you. Visions are not things that should look very special or spectacular to the believer. Visions are normal for the believer. Reason is simple. Romans 8 verse 9 tells us, you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. So the believer in Christ Jesus is in the spirit. So because he is in the spirit, he can see into the spirit. Are you following me? That's Romans 8 verse 9. Because you are in the spirit, you can see in the spirit. So you can hear in the spirit. You can see in the spirit. Let me teach you something. As you begin to pray, don't tell God, oh, Father, show me a vision. But open up your heart and expect a vision. Expect that God can talk to you. Expect that God can show you things. I don't believe that you've prayed if you've not heard from God. Because prayer is meant to be dialogue and not monologue. God is meant to talk to you. So when you're praying, expect that God will talk to you. You might not determine how he will. You might not tell him, show me something. You might not tell him, I want to hear this way. But expect that in the course of a prayer, God is going to talk to your heart. He's going to bring, sometimes it's a voice. Sometimes it's just a witness. That witness could just be peace in your spirit. Hallelujah. That witness could be a burden that he places in your heart. But he's going to talk to you. Sometimes he shows you pictures. And explains to you. Sometimes he takes you off into a trance. So God speaks to you. And let me teach you a little about how to handle visions when they come. Any of these kind of visions. Is that okay? Any of them. The first thing is, never forget, as I've always said, that visions or any spiritual experience cannot contradict the word of God. Never. Never. It will never. It will never. I mean, you see something in a vision and it's so clear and it makes sense, but it doesn't agree with God's word. Throw it away. Throw it away forever. It's either you do not hear well, or you do not hear anything at all, or you do not interpret well. Did you hear what I said? Either you didn't see well, or you didn't see anything at all, or you did not interpret what you saw very well. These are the possibilities. There are things God cannot tell you. And I tell you under God, you can tell me I saw this, I can tell you it's not true. Without asking God. And that's why every time I talk about this, I like addressing some of these guys that, all these guys that came up, and I like talking about it all the time. People that came up and said, oh, well, I went to hell, and I came back, and then I saw someone wearing weave-on, and the person is in hellfire. Have you heard such things? You don't fall for such things at any time in your life. Yeah? You do not fall for them. Hey, you've always been a bad, you've always wanted to spoil. So you cannot fall for them. But I didn't fall for them too, so we are together. So they say, well, I dreamt or I died. They even carried me to mortuary. After 4 days I came, I saw people on earring in hell, wearing trousers in hell, using cream in hell, perfume, hell, watching football in hell, wearing bangle in hell. I saw them. Hell is big. The church fell for those things. Because they were paying attention to the vision. Come on. This lady said she died. And there are people around that could confirm that she really died. And they took her to mortuary. And there was a death certificate to confirm that she died. And she came back to life. How can you doubt that kind of person? Well, I would doubt the person 1,000 times if he doesn't agree with God's word. You understand? I've kept telling you guys. I'm not somebody you can excite by those things. That night fell down and I almost died. For 3 days I couldn't get up, and I saw. You see things that are not scriptural. I'm not going to believe you. Now I'll tell you why. Why you can see those things. Sometimes it's already a product of what you know in your heart. I like saying this all the time. If you believe, or they've told you, that someone
that does this or does that will go to hell. When you go to hell, those are the people you will see in hell. I mean, when you have your vision. Because it is what you believe in your head. And you say God didn't talk to you. No, God spoke to you. But you see, why I'm doing this teaching is, God will show you things. You are responsible for your interpretation. Hi, God help me communicate this. You are responsible for your interpretation. Let me use the common example I've always used, and I'll go to something very important. God has put in my heart now. If I now die, and after 3 days I come back, and I tell you guys, I saw people wearing trousers in hell. Now, that is nowhere the Bible said that. Nowhere. That is nowhere. I saw people using perfume in hell. The reason would be, someone has convinced me that using perfume is bad. So when I die, God wants to communicate to me that unbelievers will go to hell. And then what I'm going to see, because my mind has converted everybody using perfume as an unbeliever, what I'm going to see is that someone uses everybody using perfume will go to hell. I get what I'm saying? That's where I'm not excited about these things, you see. You cannot contradict God's word. Another issue people have in dealing with prophetic and all that, some people are wounded. Thank you, Holy Ghost. They don't heal. And when they don't heal, it affects their spiritual flow. Let me give you an example. A guy grew up in a village. Witchcraft killed his mother. Witchcraft killed his father. You get the point? A witch did that. A witch cleared his family. And he has been bitter. And then he rises and becomes a prophet. And God shows him that you're a witch. You are dying immediately. His experience has formed him. And he's now looking for scriptures to make his experience look good. People are not healed. People are not fine. So when they see something, they will interpret it in the light of what they've always known. For instance, let me talk about this vision that this prophecy team. If I see a vision that I give an example initially, that is someone here that is duping somebody of money. Because my training and my experience will determine what I'm going to say and even how I'm going to say it. So if I'm not ready, and I say, come out. You see, let me tell you, God is angry with you. He's angry. And so you are shaking. 2005, you collected £15 million. Say, yes, my Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I walk around. Shakalabadagada. He's angry. In fact, I'm telling you, in 7 days, you'll be destroyed. What am I saying? What am I doing? I've seen something. I'm interpreting my understanding. Do you understand the point? I can call out still somebody like that. And I tell you, I say, see, guy, God wants you to pay attention to the rest of your life. I'm going to. You can correct someone without condemning the person. It's all about your understanding. And that it will play, it will show in how you interpret whatever. Let me give you a perfect example from the Bible. Do you realize that when Peter saw a vision and saw animals coming down and God said, rise, kill and eat, he still brought his ignorance into the vision. I will not eat any unclean thing. So even Peter's foolishness, if you, by foolishness I mean ignorance of the word at that point, okay? Peter's ignorance played a role in that vision. It was not because he woke up and began to think. And the Lord told him, well, some men are looking for you. That's a story for another day. What I'm trying to show you is, your vision cannot contradict God's word. If it contradicts God's word, it misses all these 3 things I told you. Number one, either you saw nothing, you made up things in your head. Amen? Or a strange spirit has shown you something. Are you here? Or you lack proper interpretation of what you saw because of your ignorance. So, whenever you begin to see things, pay attention to the word of God. God will not speak to you by his spirit what he has not said to you by his word. Are you following me? He will not show you by his spirit what he cannot show you by his word. He shows you by his spirit what has already shown you by his word. So, in interpreting visions, you must realize, no matter what I see, God's word is ultimate. So I cannot have an interpretation that is against the word, or that goes against the word. That is why you must know God's word for yourself, to be able to understand what God is showing. Number two, in interpreting visions, you need to realize that sometimes visions work with symbols. Symbols. I've said it all the time. Visions work with symbols. Not all the time, or sometimes. Actually, not all visions work with symbols. Some do. Amen? For instance, when Paul said, on the way to Damascus, he saw a light, and Jesus told him, who do you, as why are you persecuting me? That was no symbol there. You saw Jesus. As simple as that. Do you understand the point? But the visions can work with symbols. Now, most visions you're going to see will work with symbols. Now, what do I mean by symbols? Simply, you have been told growing up, and you know that when you see apple in your dream, it doesn't always mean apple. It means something, Azabi. It means everybody realizes that you can see things in your spirit, but then it's not only what it means. It's trying to show you something else. Are you in church this evening? So you can be praying, and then a picture flashes to your eye. You see maybe a white cloth just flashes to your eye. That's a symbol right there. It can mean anything. Do you know I can be praying, I can just be walking around, and I just see something. I see two. I'm giving an example. It happens to me. Written on someone's head. Immediately I begin to investigate. I'll show you how to do that shortly. And then I suddenly find out, well, you were born in the month of February. It's as simple as that. You should talk with symbols. And the person will say, yes, yes. Now, this is where I'm going to. In interpreting symbols, you must realize that no particular symbol has any particular meaning. I will correct this for some of you that come to me in my office to tell me things like, Daddy, I saw a car, so I saw it in the dream. What does it mean? It means nothing. You don't interpret visions like that. You can't say, sir, I saw apple. Ah, it means something good is coming to me. Who told you that rubbish? That's not how you interpret visions. So that's not how you interpret dreams. So I saw snake. What does it mean? That snake will bite you, or it means you should start using torch when you are walking in the night. If not, you can't judge dreams like that. I follow what I'm saying. In my dream, I say black clothes. What does it mean? The natural thing that came to mind, it means morning. Now you can't interpret. I'll show one or two examples. I say this all the time. I'll use that and I'll talk about something else. In Acts 2. There was the coming of the Holy Ghost. And then tongues of fire appeared on their heads. Now, I've explained that to you. Do you think everybody in that upper room, everybody, the whole Jews that came, do you think they saw the tongues of fire? No, they didn't. So obviously, Luke was the one reporting. Luke saw the tongues of fire, or perhaps all of them saw the tongues of fire, but others couldn't see. They were actually seeing a vision. Amen? Now, in that vision, tongues of fire on their head. I've used this up a lot. I'm going to use it again today. Tongues of fire on their head would represent the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit come upon them, and then there was tongues of fire, and they began to speak. That's very understandable. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah had a vision. The problem is, it was dramatic. He said, and I heard an earthquake, and God was not in the earthquake. And I saw fire, but God was not in the fire. So we see in Acts 2, fire, several people said, it was the Holy Ghost. Elijah saw fire in 1 Kings 19, and it wasn't the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? So you can't say things like, anytime you see fire in your vision, look at what it means. You can't say that. Are you following me? You can't say anytime you see rice in your dream, see what it means. That is the reason why a lot of people believe once you see a baby in your dream, it means you have spiritual children. Who even tells you guys all those kind of stuff you guys see? So this woman has been looking for a baby for a very long time. And she has been praying and fasting. After like 7 days of praying and fasting, she goes to her dream and she sees herself carrying twins. And she wakes up to believe that she has spiritual children. That is why she has not given birth. She goes to another series of fasting. Why didn't that dream mean that God has answered your prayer? Or why did the dream not mean any other thing? It's like someone said, carrying children in the dream. Jesus, maybe that's spiritual man. That's why I've not had a child. You see, her darkened understanding, her lack of new creation realities understanding is playing out in her interpretation. She doesn't know that she's in Christ Jesus. She does not have a spiritual husband. She doesn't know. Nobody told her. So she wakes up and says, I have a spiritual husband. I even have children in the water. You've not heard that. You've not heard it. Somebody told me I have 7 children in the water. I said, what are their names? He said, because I'm serious. I see them in the dream. I play with them in the dream. I say, fine. It's a good thing. Children are a heritage of the Lord. He says, I take this in serious. I said, just go. You won't see it again. You never see them again. That was the end. It wasn't just about my words being powerful. It was mental deliverance that I conducted on her. It wasn't just about, it was mental deliverance. How can you think you're having children in your dream? When did you get pregnant? See, listen. She should never annoy me. So you see, people and all the crazy stuff. So you can't say this means this. You can't. And I always give you guys an example. How would you have known if you work with this means this and that means that? Pharaoh had a vision. In his vision, his dream, 7 fat cows swallowed, and the lean cows swallowed the fat cows. Do you know that story? What did Joseph interpret? The 7 lean cows are years of famine. The 7 fat cows are years of plenty. How would you have known that cows represent years? How do we get a point? You can't conclude. That's not how to do your symbols. I always try to deliver you from this every time I teach on this. Stop thinking like that. Stop thinking like that. Since I saw a coffin in my vision, what does it mean? Is that somebody's about to die in our house? Who even told you that? Who told you that? What if God is saying you're going into the business of making? God is showing you my song. People are dying all over the place. Start making coffee. He said, come on, please. I don't see anything wrong with that. So if you're a pastor and someone joins your church and the business that guy makes caskets, you will push him from your church. If he says, pastor, come and bless my business. Praise God. So what particular prayer? And you're telling your church members, patronize our people. You know, that's by the will. No, so prayer, I used to pity God sometimes. So he answers some prayers. One person is praying for long life. The person is selling coffee and he's saying, Father, bring customers to me. And he answers everybody. Everybody's fine. God is just wise. He's higher than us. Oh well. And so you realize, in knowing what a vision means, the symbols do not always mean a particular thing. All those your dreams and interpretation books, go and throw them away. Did you hear what I say? Let me talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, rod versus shoulder very gently. Say, neighbor, Do you have those books? Did you ever have those books at any time? I used to have those books. I still remember many of them. I think what does apple mean? Apple is something good. You're born a male child. Seriously. I mean, I hear crazy stuff. Who talks to people like that? You cannot make a personal experience a doctrine. You can't do that. If you had a vision, imagine Joseph writing a book on dreams and interpretation. He will tell you, every time you see cow in your dream, it means yes. If you see lame cows, it means famine. And you now go and study Nebuchadnezzar's dream, you will run. That one, I don't know how Daniel came about that interpretation. A full human being, some part is clay. So this vision, a part of his body is bronze. And Daniel begins to tell him, those things are different kingdoms and different kings that will rise. Now, look at what I'm saying. The answer to your vision is not in the symbols. The answer to your vision is in your spirit. Vision brings a knowing. And so when you see something, what do you know? What did you know at the point of the vision? Or, as you are thinking and meditating on that vision, praying about it, what came to your knowledge? You don't pay attention to symbols. Oh, well, I saw this. You know, when I saw this, it means pay attention. It's a spirit man. Let me show you an example in the Bible. I'm going to round off shortly. Acts 10, verse 17. We'll have a long day tomorrow. I'm trying to close by 7 at most, 7:15 or 7:30 today. Tomorrow we're closing by 8 o'clock. Amen? And so you should get set for that. But don't worry, that we got buses that will take you back the way you're going to. So there's no cause for alarm. But then, while Peter had that vision of rise, kill, and eat. So while Peter, he has, remember this is a trance, Abby? He has gotten up from the trance. You begin to learn wisdom from Peter. When you see a dream, this is how to handle it. So don't come to my office and be telling me, sir, what does this mean? While Peter doubted himself, what decision which he had seen should mean? Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, which was summoning Peter, we are lodged there. Verse 19 is where I'm going to. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek thee. Amen. So where did Peter get the answer of the vision from? He did not start checking, what does four-footed animals mean? What are the animals I saw? I think I saw pig. I saw cow. What does pig mean in vision? What does cow mean? What does dog mean? That's what he started doing. He was thinking and praying. The Spirit now said to him. This is why I took time to explain to you last Sunday, the inward witness, the inward voice. But at the end of the day, that's where you get your answers from. So what happens? I'm praying. And I just see, like I gave myself, I saw two. And I'm just standing. I may still be talking to you, but I'm searching my spirit. I'm trying to say, he talks on the vision. That's meditation. He just stayed and was thinking. And the Lord said, three men seek thee. Kabarada. Who would have thought that those four-footed animals, that what they represented was the Gentiles? Because what God was trying to show him in that vision is, these animals that you don't eat normally, that you call unclean, what God has made clean, don't call unclean. Those animals present the Gentiles. You Jews have always seen the Gentiles as unclean. From now, there is an open door that I have accepted all of them. Are you following me? How will Peter have known that those animals were talking about the Gentiles? He prayed and thought on the vision. What about the translation of this? AJB said, while he thought. NLT said, he was puzzling over the vision
the Holy Spirit. So the answer to the vision was in his spirit and not in the vision. That's why you don't come to me and say, sir, I saw snake in my dream. What happened in the dream? Sometimes when you tell me a 10-minute dream, I've already seen the answer somewhere in the middle. Everything you are seeing is just drama that happened. Just like when there is a parable, if I'm sharing a parable with you, for instance, that's not trumpet, don't worry. Trumpet doesn't sound good. Amen. Why are you like that at a time? Was there a time if you hear this and you say, ah, well, I'm just gone. When the trumpet is going to sound, it still takes me to what I'm talking about. It will sound in your spirit. The trumpet will not sound in your physical ear. It is that Holy Spirit that is within you that will blow that trumpet from within. Are you getting what I'm talking about? And then the Spirit of God in you will vitalize your mortal body. And you'll be changed from inside out. And then we take off. It's from your inside. That inward man is everything. You need to understand him. So when you see a vision, that's the man you check with. That guy on the inside. That's the man you check with. Who would have told Peter these things? If Peter had gone carnally like you, he would just say this, like, so what did I see? I saw four animals. The thing came down three times. Rise, kill and eat. Rise, kill and eat. So what God is trying to tell me now is that as I wake up, I can begin to eat everything. Nothing that happened. That's not what the vision means. Just like when I'm sharing a parable with you. Maybe all these parables I used to give in this church. There is a young man. This is a parable. I'm trying to show some of you understand this. He's the second son of his mother. The mother has six children. And then he stole money. And while they were about to condemn him in court, the mom came out and took the punishment for him. And the mom was condemned instead of the man. This is what Jesus did for us. Is that very simple? Now, there are things that are not important in this story I told you. An example is, he's the second son of the family. I just have to add those things to make the story, to make you relate to the story. Are you getting what I'm saying? The man has six children. What does six represent? Six. Visions. You do not lack understanding when you see them. Search your spirit. Let me say this to you. God will not show you. You are not Pharaoh. You are not Nebuchadnezzar. God will not show you what he cannot explain to you. Are you getting me? When you see a dream, don't just get up from that and say, ah, straight to pastor's office. It's today Wednesday. Let me go and meet him and ask him what does he mean. When God talks to you, remember, your spirit man is all-knowing. Do you remember? He knows the answer to that which God has shown you. So, you puzzle. Amplify said, while Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it. Wow. He was revolving it, turning it over and over again, meditating on it. The Holy Spirit said, when you see things, revolve them in your mind. As I'm ministering here, I see different things. I have a ministry here, and the Holy Ghost throws a picture in my eye. I ignore it. He throws it again. And the next thing, as I'm talking to you, I'm already meditating on it. And I begin to say, oh, wow. So this is what it means. This is what it means. This is what it means. Hallelujah. And as you begin to do that, sir, what if I don't know what it means? Now, you need to realize who you are in Christ. You're not a stranger to spiritual things. If you don't know, can I tell you what to do? Ask questions. Ask God direct. See, don't be scared. See, if I'm seeing a vision now, especially a spiritual vision, and I don't understand, I can tell God I didn't get that. Take it back. And I'm telling you plainly. Take it back. I didn't get that. Where did you learn that from? From the Bible. Zechariah 1 verse 18. Put it up. Zechariah 1 18. That's why you can prolong a vision just by asking questions. Even if a vision has ended, you can still stay in your place of prayer. I say, Father, I still don't get this very clearly. So, rebate, boravete, legrobatea. I still don't get this. As you just turn it around in your spirit, either he now speaks to your ear, in word witness or in word voice.
or brings an inward knowing, or he takes you back to that vision. Has it ever happened to you? He takes you back to that vision and explains it to you better. Now look at this. This was Zechariah in the Old Testament, church. He said, lifted I my eyes and I saw and behold four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be this? So even Zechariah was not ashamed, afraid to ask questions. So how do I ask questions? You inquire by tongues. Just stay there in the spirit. You're praying now, you see things you don't understand. Just be praying. Keep praying. Put your attention there. Put your attention there. The Spirit of the Lord is like the candle of a man, searching through the inward parts of the man, of the belly. That's how to do it. The same way, put up this scripture. It's like a candle. Let me tell how I explain this to people for them to understand it very well. I think it's Proverbs, have you? We're going to close shortly. Are you learning something? Have you found it? Yeah. The spirit of man, that is Proverbs 27, is the candle of the Lord. Your spirit is God's candle, searching all the doors of the belly. How I see it is, if this whole place is full of darkness, the inward parts of the belly, full of darkness, there is no understanding, and I come in with a candle, I take the candle, I am moving. If I want to see what is happening that way, I focus it on that angle, and I can see clearly. That's why your spirit man is all knowing, but you cannot know everything at the same time. Anyone you want to know, focus on that area. Are you following me? Now, my spirit man knows everything about all of you here. But I can't begin to say them. I don't even know them. If I want to know something about IJ, or maybe I want to know something about IJ's finance or her health, I am praying in my spirit. Now I'm focusing on her. And I can tell you by the Holy Ghost, I already know some things about her. There's no point talking about it, even shortly now. Now, my spirit knows these things. It's the candle of the Lord searching the inward parts of the belly. So something is going wrong in church. This is not going well. And I'm asking the Lord, what is happening? What am I doing? I'm taking the candle to that area. Are you following me, church? I'm taking it to that area. And I'm praying, why is this happening? And then the Lord begins to show me, it's that. And I come out. He might show me a vision. He might speak to my ear. It might be anything. But I'm going to come out knowing something. If not knowing everything fully, knowing at least what to do. So Zechariah saw and said, what are these? And the angel told him, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Continue. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Now, you don't assume. He asked the angel, what have they come to do? Learn to ask questions. You see a dream, you don't understand. Get to the place of prayer. Now, the mistake you make is to expect that when you see a dream and you pray, that the answer will come when you go back to your sleep. No. It might come when you go back to your sleep. It might come when you are still awake. It might come to God just drop a thing in your spirit, man. Look at what I'm trying to show you. And then you leave the place. Sometimes you see a dream where, there was an accident. Don't conclude that God is trying to tell you that you have an accident. That's not even true. So you just take the candle of the Lord in that area. Focus. Peter was meditating on the vision. And then suddenly God begins to show you. Satan is orchestrating an accident for so person. But I've shown you that you may avert it. Or I'm showing you for you to tell that person, tell him not to travel. Are you following me, church? I'm just saying, telling you so that you can break the hold of that thing over your life. So there's an answer in your spirit. There's an answer to every vision. There's an answer to every. That's why some of you that know me, if you are a stranger, you just come to my office and says, I see a dream on this, I'll just search through and I'll tell you the meaning. If you are my member and you come, I will not tell you. Once I just don't tell you the dream, I'll just say, tell me what it means. Daddy, I don't know. You saw it. God will not show you what he doesn't want to explain to you. He says, the word of Nebuchadnezzar, that is Nebuchadnezzar. That is Pharaoh. That is not you. Do you see the kind of high-level spiritual intelligence that Daniel functioned by? Daniel
went to the point of God telling him Nebuchadnezzar's dream and telling him the meaning. That's high level. Are you getting me? Like, I meet, I say, you say, I've done that in this church sometimes. There are days I'm ministering here, and I'll say, there's someone here, you had a dream, in your dream last night, you saw me ministering to you in your dream, and I told you this and that. And the person will come and say, yes, that is high level spiritual intelligence. I don't get the point. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, someone has been having dreams. The dream has occurred 2 times. And your expectation is very high. It's basically about immersion. It's starting tomorrow. But we'll get to the meeting and I'll talk about your dream. And I'll tell you something. Now, you are not a novice spiritually. You are not a fool. You are not a blind bat. You are walking in the light of God. So you pray, you see something. You just take the candle of God to that area. Just stay there. Turn it over and over again. The answer will come. Let me say this to you. Maybe I'll wind up from here. When the answer comes, learn to trust your spirit man. The funny thing is, you might be trusting the dream. Immediately Peter heard 3 men seek thee. Now, how did Peter hear? Physically or in his spirit man? In his spirit. He ignored every other detail in the dream and went to what the spirit man said. Trust the spirit man. Trust the spirit man. God is always talking to you. He's talking to you. You see an open vision. Something appeared to you. Check your spirit, man. That's where, if I let me even tell you something. I've had a vision of Jesus. I've shared that with you, Abby. But everything Jesus told me that I saw him. Now, a vision of Jesus I had was so clear. But actually, God spoke to me in my spirit. Everything he was telling me was, I was hearing it in my spirit. Not with my physical ear. Are you following me? And I've grown and I'm still growing and trusting the Lord to help me to trust that spirit more. Because that is actually how God wants to lead me. He will show me things. Spiritual person, he will show me things that will just appear. And I'll just ask him, Lord, what does this mean? And he will show you. He will tell you. And so pay attention to your spirit, man, church. Pay attention. Maybe I say one last thing. You may not tell God to show you a vision. Don't do that. But you can set yourself up for a vision. And if not a vision, for God to talk to you. And I can tell a simple way that can happen. Look at Revelation 1 verse 10. Maybe I didn't plan to read that. Revelation 1 verse 10. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. Revelation now. John is about to tell us how he saw. Do you know? I love the Holy Ghost. Do you know the whole book of Revelation was somebody's vision? Like, this is why I talk about maturity in these things. So John was seeing a vision and was writing it, and was seeing it and was writing it. He was that detailed. Some parts of it were trances, but there's a part of this vision where you notice that he himself was involved in it. He will ask the angel of the Lord, who are these? Who are these? There's a point he asked the Lord, who are these? The angel told him, these are those that have washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. He kept asking questions. He didn't assume things. That's the problem with our generation. We see and we say, oh, well, it should be this. It shouldn't be that. The spirit man knows. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. This is one of the greatest keys. I've shown you the key. What are you looking for? I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Now, when Paul says John says I was in the spirit, it doesn't mean he entered into somewhere. The guy is always in the spirit.
he was talking about that. By the time I was in the spirit, the man was either praying in the Holy Ghost. But important that there was a consciousness of the supernatural around him. You can set yourself up for a vision. You can set yourself up to hear. If you do a lot with praying in the Holy Ghost, you will see this more often. Have you observed what I'm saying? You will see this more often. It's not whether you will pay attention to them. One of our people here that I impacted during so way, you know, for the prophetic and all that, he was telling me in December, he said, these days I see people. Once I see them, I just know something about them. I see this about them. He said, sir, I restrain myself from talking. One of those days, he went to the bank to do something with the customer service. And God was talking to him strongly about that person, about the customer care. I had to tell her, right there, my sorry, that is a way to pass words without pride. Because the Spirit of the Lord does not work with pride. When you bring in pride, you are now working with a familiar spirit. I get it. They just assume that about somebody. You look at the woman, you just laugh. Ma, I see your husband. I see Theophilus. Who is Theophilus? Now I'll tell you, I don't know. Don't meet my type. She says, Ma, I don't know. I love how Brother Hagin communicates. He's one of the most accurate prophets ever. But when he walks up to you, he will tell you, I don't know. I might be wrong. God cannot be wrong, but I'm human. I might be wrong, but see what I see. He's never wrong. He said he says that to put himself in check, to remind himself. I get what I'm talking about. That you're still man. I don't know what I'm seeing, but I want you to know that God is going to fix everything. I'm actually seeing one or two struggles around these areas of your life, but God is going to fix it. Now, if a person wants you to go further and take it further, fine. He told me, he said, every time I pass, he was telling me, even when I'm ministering on stage sometimes, I'm talking about something else. I'm seeing something else entirely. As soon as I try to distract myself. And somewhere within this weekend, I'm going to bring that impartation again. Where there will be heightened spiritual sensitivity for you. To see, to discern, to perceive. Heightened sensitivity. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. I was in the spirit. So you just spend some time. Notice that those videos where you do your quiet time every morning and pray every night and talking to us at intervals within the day, you always hear. You always see. You can't tell God how to talk to you, but you can set yourself up for Him to talk to you. Who's following what I'm talking about? It's about being available, being ready. You know, one thing the Lord spoke to me about one day, I was studying 1 Samuel chapter 1. And, you know, the Bible tells us that in those days, put up 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 1. I'm taking your time. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1. I'm taking your time, but you have to just bear with me a little. He said in those days that the word of the Lord was scarce. The word of the Lord, King James said the word of God was precious in those days. Put up another translation. Precious. It doesn't mean it was fine. It was scarce. NLT said, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare. Visions were quite uncommon. Do you know why? God was done with Eli. He was raising a Samuel. But people are not seeing things. How did God begin to talk to Samuel? See the next verse. It came to pass at that time when Eli was in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. God's talking with this a lot. As the lamp of the Lord went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down. So where Samuel laid down to sleep every night was where the ark of the Lord was. Friend, you can set yourself up for God to talk to you. While he was lying down there to sleep, he now heard a voice, Samuel! Samuel. Now this is in the physical because the ark was physical. You can set yourself up. You know, before you dream, before you sleep, you can set yourself up to see good dreams and see the right dreams. You want to sleep, you spend your time in prayer, spend the rest of your night in meditation, and then you sleep off. You can't see a masquerade pursuing you. If he pursues you, you go back and pursue it back. That is what you can see. At least you can see. You can set yourself up. So John was telling you how it happened. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice. Some of you that God wants is talking to you about telling, God is telling you that some people are hearing to the spirit. God is telling you, I want to talk to you more. I want to use you more around the prophetic office and all that. Learn what I'm saying. Spend a lot of time in prayer. I'm not talking about 8 hours prayer. I am talking about daily consistent prayer. When you have time, that should be your prayer time in the morning, fine. And in the day. But when you have time within the day, just stay talking in tongues. People that are very close to me, we know, if you're very observant, if there's any event going on in my house, maybe we are celebrating something, celebrating anything, family has gathered, maybe in the village, we get people come around. So once you see me, my tongue is always moving under my breath. Nothing can go wrong when I'm there. I will see it. I will spot you. I will walk you out. One day I was just praying and the Holy Ghost showed me where someone wanted. I've never told my family this part of the story, but they saw, my brother knows when I did. Where somebody wanted to, my brother, the other brother, you know, the Rimi man, wanted to give somebody money and then it was used against him. So I ran down from upstairs. I think it was already happening downstairs. The guy was saying, tell him something. And I came and whispered to him. I said, do you want to give him money? He said, I said, let me give him myself. And from there, it has been like that now. He doesn't, there are people that come, he doesn't give them money. Just come and give. It's not, you can't kill a dead man. Let me give them myself. Go and use it. Praise God. And it was a vision I had of the Lord. Just the way that happened. I said, ah, no. Let me go and give myself. Use my, take it to native doctor. What do you want to do with my destiny? He doesn't even make it. I'm not, I've given it to the Lord, so it's nothing. I'm not lying to run for president. I'm not lying to, I'm just here. So I said, give me, I'll give it myself. The Lord shows us. We are not blind. We are not deaf. We are not men without guidance. More than everything this year, train your ears, train your eyes, train your sensitivity to be able to hear from the Lord. To be able to see and pick what He's telling you. Business people, it will help you. Students, it will help you. Workers, it will help you. Everybody in your family, it will help you. You will soon begin to have children. In the first 10 to 15 years of your child's life, he will depend on your ability to hear from God to be fine. That is the truth. The kids will depend on your ability to hear from God. Because they won't choose their schools that they will attend. You will choose it for them. Are you guys what I'm talking about? They won't choose where to live. You will choose it for them. You know, there's something about coming back and you hold your child and say, oh, Junior, welcome back from school. And you already seen that there's a bad influence from school lashing itself on that child. And people talk to you, what's happening in school? Many children are molested every day in school. Their parents don't have a clue about it. One, they don't even have a relationship with the child. The worst, they don't even have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. So, how do you want to help the child? And your child goes from being very outspoken to being very withdrawn. And he said, they go with a very quiet child. Because you've turned yourself into a deaf person. It's not about holding your child's hand. I just know that something is strange about this guy. I was talking about perception on Sunday. Something is strange. Something that is a, there's something strange. I don't know what it is, but something is just not right. And then what do you do? Just don't start forming spiritual attachment to the child. Confess! Oh. Don't be dramatic. You don't have to be dramatic to be spiritual. I don't have to do that. You just tell the child, go and take your food and eat. You go back to your room. You take the candle to that area. Just talking to the Holy Ghost. You might not know everything, but God will put one or two questions in your heart to go and ask the child. You now go back. You now find out, oh, actually, somebody is trying to intimidate this child. My point is, you will need the voice of God all the days of your life. When you get older, forever. Do you know what I'm trusting God for you? Train yourself now. So that when you will need it most, you will have trained yourself how to master it. You no longer be asking, how am I sure? Start now. All this was what is train yourself. When you need it, when you need to make your best decisions, you will have mastered how to know that this is God talking to. This is the I preach. Play that song for me. Just play your key. Stand to your feet. Your holy presence.
Your holy presence.
Living in me.
Living in me. This is my deliverance.
Let's sing it together.
This is my deliverance.
Your very word spoken to me.
Your very word
spoken to me. Come on, John, sing it.
Spoken to me.
Let's take from the top again. This is the eye I preach. Everybody, from the top again.
This is the air I breathe.
I want to hear you sing it like nobody is singing.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence.
Woo!
Living in me. Living in me. This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Your very word, come on.
Your very word.
Spoken to me, come on, just sing it.
Spoken to me.
But I hear these words in my spirit. And so why are you scared? Why are you scared of making a mistake? Why are you scared of missing it? Why are you scared of not getting it right? I've put everything within. I've put the compass within. I've put the direction within. If only you can dare to listen to me and trust the things I will show you. If only you can trust the voice that is within. That is where your answer lies. You're not a confused person. The answer is there. The answer is within. Can you dare to trust that answer? Because I will always speak to you. Trust that voice within. Trust that voice within, says the Lord. Trust it. Never say I am confused. Never be confused. Never accept to the lie that you are confused. For every time there is a way, every time you will know what to do and you will see what to do. And it will be by the voice and the eyes I've put in your spirit, man. Dare to trust it. That is not your mind. It's not your mind putting those thoughts there. It is my spirit. But you've not learned to trust. And that's why after 2 weeks, you now say, oh, something was telling me to do this. That was the Holy Ghost. But you refuse to trust. Says the Lord, dare to trust. Dare to believe those words. For I've put my guidance in your heart. Yeah. And as I say these words, I see something like, I see a compass in the spirit. And I've been trying to inquire of the Lord for the past few seconds what that means. And I see that someone is looking for direction, particularly in the area of geography. The area of where you to live, where to reside. You've seen a couple of options. I have a couple of options. Right now, look within. The compass is there. I will show you. I'm showing you where you must walk. Dare to trust that voice. You won't miss it. And even if you are scared of doing, you are scared of missing it, even if you miss it, you would have learned how not to miss it next time. So dare to trust. Dare to follow. The answer is there. Glory to God. Look at me, friends. Let me share a story with you. Lovely man, share a story with you. Just be standing. Let me just talk to you. I've shared a story with many of you many times. It's not about me. It's about a great man of God called Chris Ballotton. Have you ever talked about him? Great prophet of God. And the Lord just put that story in my heart and I'll talk about it. Because as I was just talking about trusting the voice in your heart, the reason why many of you miss is because you don't trust that God will talk to you. You don't even trust the thing he says to you. So this man of God, the Lord told him, because there are ways God will lead you. The Lord told him, I have given you a message for a certain president. That president is not even an English-speaking president. And so he wrote, he's a great man, he's a big man, so he wrote a letter to the president. And not even of his nation. I told the president, I am a prophet of God. I don't know if you're a Christian nation or not, but I am a prophet of God, and God has given me a word concerning you. And for some reason, the president granted him audience. So he went to his interpreter. So while they were on their way, the interpreter said to him, well, it's not like I'm trying to poke nose and all that, but can you please, can you tell me what exactly God told you to tell the president? And he smiled and told the interpreter, well, do you want to know the truth? He said, yes. He said, I actually don't know. Just that God told me that I have a message for the president. I don't know what exactly it is, but I will know. And the guy got scared. He said, you are summoning the president of an entire nation. And you don't exactly know what they want to tell him. He said, sincerely, he didn't know. He said, as he was approaching, he was searching his spirit. Nothing was coming. But if you can learn to trust that God will always talk to you, do you know? Always. So he continued until, see, they entered the conference hall. While they were waiting, the interpreter asked him again, do you by any chance already have the message? He said, no. The man said, I'm more than an interpreter. Anything they do to us here, you know. And finally, the president was coming. And he said, do you have the message yet? He said, actually, no. But let him come first.
is when you begin to trust the leadings in your heart. He cannot lead you astray. Finally, the president came. He said, yes, yes, yes. You said you're a prophet of some God. So, what is it? What did God told you? He spoke in their dialect. He said, he didn't know exactly what to say. But he knew the basics. So he just told him, well, first of all, God wants something that he loves. That's true. So then he hit that, hit the next one, the thing opened up. He loves you. And there is a conspiracy to remove you from office. Because at first he told the man, tell these guys here to go. Because the press, everybody was there. The president said, no, talk. I have nothing to hide. I said, fine. There is a conspiracy to remove you from office. And it all started because they set you up to take a certain bribe you took 3 weeks ago. You've taken it. Currently, there's another bribe on your table right now. If you take that bribe, then you say, wait. Everybody out. He said, for the next couple of hours, he was prophesying. The man was asking questions. He was going, he didn't have a single word before he came. But you knew God wanted to talk to that man. It happens to me many times. Sometimes I may just see me just call someone, come up, I'm ministering. Person just comes up and says, at first, that's when I'm calling the person, I don't have any word exactly. But God has pointed the person, and there is something for that person. Before he gets here, I'm going to know. While he's here, I'm going to know. He said, why he was there? He just told the man, for like an hour or so. And the man got saved that day and all that. So when he was going, the interpreter was like, you're actually lying to me that you didn't know what to say. You couldn't have known all those things within that short time. But I actually knew. That's how I knew. If I was coming, I didn't know anything. Trust your spirit, man. It's perfect, it's accurate. Revelation of the man within. That man, if you can know him and listen to him, he won't lead you astray. Say with me, say, I'm not confused. I always have direction. I always know what to do. I always know how to do it. I listen to the Lord. He talks to me. I hear in the spirit. I see in the spirit. It is given to me to know. Therefore, I am not confused. Hallelujah. God bless you. Practice more. Trust God. Let him talk to you. Trust what he's telling you. Hallelujah. God cannot lie. When he talks, he means it. And I'm thanking God that I'm able to master the leading of the Spirit to the level I can. And I'm still growing. Imagine if in the early days of my Christian walk, I didn't learn to hear from God and master how he leads and how he talks. Fast forward to 50 years after, God will now have me lead his church. And then the destiny of a couple of thousands of people now depend on how well I'm able to hear and know. You get what I'm saying? Imagine if I don't hear from God. Many of you would have been in trouble. The church would have been in trouble, sir. Point is, now you are getting this training. Learn it very well. You will need it sometime and every time in your life. God bless you. Amen.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.